Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop, we've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Fan text line already on fire today. 503-864-6326, I think. I think that's right. Someone asked, because we had the famous Idaho Potato Bowl today, and it surprised us, and it was great. Washington State, well, the game wasn't great, but it was just nice to have football on a random Monday. And Washington State beat Utah State. Bronco Mendenhall, who's, gained a little weight since I saw him last. Almost didn't recognize him. But he's not like Mike Elko. Boy, do you see that fella? That guy. Anyway, we don't need to get into that. Why would I talk about that? That's terrible. I'm awful. It's Christmas time. Anyway, rewind. The famous Idaho Potato Bowl is famous-ish for its fry bath on the winning coach. So the whoever wins... This interim coach for Washington State, he got doused with a tub of French fries, you know, after the game. And it raises two questions. The first one coming from the fan text line. And he says, in honor of the Potato Bowl today, I was curious which side dish you would most like to get poured over you after winning a football game. Great question. I will ask a side question first and say, what type of French fry would you want poured over you after winning a football game? For me, it's the waffle fry.
It might be a steak fry. I really do like a good steak fry. But also, what are those crunchy, you know, pub fries? The ones that usually have the golden outside on them? Those ones.
Those. Maybe the garlic? What do they call it? Like garlic parm fries or something? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, but then you're smelling like garlic parm the entire time. But
that's good, isn't it?
It's not bad.
Well, I was thinking... To answer his question, I was thinking coleslaw. Wouldn't that be cool? I mean, because, you know, well, my first thought was gravy. I don't know why.
A sauce of some sort.
Yeah, like I think fries is kind of a cop-out in a way.
I was thinking applesauce. I don't know why,
you go.
But applesauce.
Same idea. It's got to be messy. You know, the water, it's probably pretty annoying, but that's the whole point. You don't care. You just want a big football game. But yeah, applesauce. Gravy. I think coleslaw would be fantastic.
That's a good one, too.
Because then you grab a fork and eat it off your neck, you know? Anyway, great question. Good start to the day. All right, well, Oregon won. Final 51-34, I think, was what the final of that game was. And backdoor cover. Backdoor cover, guys. For those of you that hammered Oregon... Yeah, that one probably stung a little bit because it was 48-13 and the Ducks were on the 5-yard line or something, about to go up 55-13. 20-point spread should cover easily. Yeah, interception and then backdoor cover. So no fun there. And that, you know, I think we're kind of maybe overreacting a little bit to how much that mattered You know, the second half was not good for Oregon, but honestly, Oregon had no incentive to lay it on. And James Madison had every incentive to make it look respectable, you know.
Yeah.
It was just a weird game. I mean, Suk was talking about how all week, or the 2 weeks leading up to the game, how the James Madison quarterback can't throw. Didn't they throw for like 500 yards, 300 yards or something?
He had a nice little game.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, these games, this is why.
273 through the air, yeah, on 48 passes.
Yeah, he threw 48 times. You know, so, I mean, these games just have such randomness to them. They're very hard to predict. But the bottom line is Oregon dominated James Madison. And we knew they were going to dominate, or should dominate James Madison, and they did. So I don't think anything changes, at least for me, regarding Oregon going into the Texas Tech game. I'd already been thinking about the Texas Tech game. Because the reality is Oregon's been a little up and down all year. I mean, they have. They've been a little uneven. If you think about it, and this game was no different. I think, you know, I mean, if you look at these four quarterfinal games, it sort of feels like to me you have, in all four matchups, you have a team, maybe Georgia, Ole Miss, maybe an exception there, because Georgia has had a little bit of an uneven season. Early on, they were not as good. But it's not like everybody's just been all dialed every game all season. I'm just saying that Oregon's been a little up and down. Georgia's been a little up and down. But but my point was, I think if you look at all four quarterfinal games, you've got a team who's been much more consistent playing a team that has been uneven. And I don't think that bodes well for Oregon. And I'm not saying that the James Madison game has made me think this. I mean, it's just Oregon this year. So, I mean, the dirty little secret is they've been pretty uneven, more so in years past under Dan Lanning, I think. And I'm not sure that gets fixed at this stage. I think that's who they are. So I don't think it bodes too well going into a game against a team that is every bit as good as you. But like we were just talking about with the randomness of games and turnovers and, you know, just different special teams and just different things happening that are just so unpredictable in games. How on earth do you pick a winner between Oregon and Texas Tech? I mean, this is the beauty of lacing them up and just, hey, the better team that day. I think, I don't know what's going to happen in that game, but I bet you we don't come back on the radio after that game and have any idea which of those two teams is better. One team will have won the game, but we won't know who's better. They're identical. But my point is Texas Tech has been much more consistent than Oregon this year. I don't love that. Indiana's been much more consistent than Alabama. Ohio State, much more consistent than, yep, Miami. And then, like I said, the Georgia-Ole Miss game, you could maybe say Georgia much more consistent than Ole Miss. And I think that we're at that stage of the tournament where it's now going to matter. It didn't matter against James Madison, but it's going to matter against Texas Tech. And I don't know. Oregon, I don't know. I don't know how you feel about
it. I think this is just going to be a dog pound type of game.
Well, it
like
should
one
be.
One of those, we're just going to move the ball 13-13 in the fourth quarter. Whoever ends up with the ball in the last 2 minutes is going to win this game.
It should be that way because both defenses are good. I mean, I think Oregon's defense is probably going to get a little motivation off of everyone talking about how good Texas Tech's defense is coming into this game, because Texas Tech's defense is awesome. But Oregon's defense is pretty damn good, too.
And Oregon's getting a lot of receivers back, so
yeah,
can be that, a lot of switch up from what we're seeing.
Yeah, well, and I saw it. We'll get into this a little bit later because I want to keep it to what happened this weekend first, and then we'll turn the page and really look at Oregon Texas Tech a little bit. But since you brought it up, I mean, this game it is going to be a war of attrition. The defenses are going to have their day, but you are looking at two of the most explosive offenses in college football. And with DeCorian Moore back and Gary Bryant back, maybe even Evan Stewart back, you know, Dante Moore could have a rough game for 85% of the game because that's what Texas Tech does. That other 15%, he is 100% capable, perhaps more capable than anybody in the country, at catching one of those guys, those speedy guys on the outside. You got to hit a couple of those, and they can be game-changing plays. We've seen it already this year from Oregon, and that's what this type of game is. Now, the other thing is, while Texas Tech, I've been lamenting Texas Tech in the red zone, their red zone scoring, the red zone touchdown scoring percentage is like 111th. They don't, when the field shrinks, they're not very good. However, they score a lot of touchdowns via explosive plays. The Oregon and Texas Tech are two of the most explosive offenses in the country. So it's that. It's like, how do you predict? Okay, not only are the teams fairly even, how the hell do you predict who can pick up an explosive here or there that can change the game? You can't.
You can't.
It's just going to be.
You just can't predict that.
This is so exciting. This is so exciting, which is why I think, and again, probably a topic for later, but I believe we are now at that level in the college football playoff where quarterbacks are going to matter more than ever, because all these teams have really good defenses. All these teams have great talent all over the field. The cream is rising. And now, amongst the quarterbacks, who can separate on the biggest stage? Who can make those game-changing plays? Dante Moore, I'm taking him over Baron Morton any day. The Alabama-Indiana game is fascinating on that level. Is Mendoza the guy?
Ty Simpson made a lot of big plays in that
game. That's right. He's capable, but Indiana is a different beast. Their defense is a different beast. Can Ty Simpson, who steps up there? Chambliss versus, I think, one of the more underrated quarterbacks nobody talks about is the Georgia kid.
And then you also have Carson Beck, who is an eighth-year quarterback, playing against Julian Sain, who's never been to where he's playing at right now.
Isn't this interesting? You know,
this is a great matchup.
The quarterbacks at this point. Now, Miami, on the Carson Beck front, Miami didn't really need Carson Beck in that game. He did not play great, but they didn't really need him. They finally figured out they should run the ball, and they did. And they played great defense and had some special teams plays. But Carson Beck, again, you get to now it's the next level up. The Ohio State defense is a completely different animal. You are going to need Carson Beck. You are going to need Julian Sain. You are going to need Dante Moore. You are going to need Mendoza and Ty Simpson. That's why I think this thing's going to be absolutely fantastic. My whole point there, though, is simply that I don't think we should worry too much about the second half against James Madison. Oregon has been pretty uneven this year. That scares me a little bit coming into this game against this Texas Tech front. But we will get to more of that coming up later. Let's look at the other games. Alabama. Boy, has a game ever turned on a dime quite like that? They looked dead early on in that game against Oklahoma. We'll get to that and Miami, Texas A&M coming up next. But first, we take a break, and here is, what's your name again? Chris, John, Barry, Tim, lowercase with sports.
B-A-S.
Okay, before we get back to the playoff games from the weekend, a couple things came in on the text line about Oregon, Texas Tech, and these are going to be talking points all week and all of next week until the game. One is Texas Tech's strength of schedule. And it's a fair point. I mean, I think that, well, the odds makers have made Oregon a slight 1 or 1.5 point favorite, which on a neutral field, I mean, that tells you all you need to know. The odds makers, they kind of know their stuff, are saying flip a coin. And they'll take action on both sides when they put the spread right there. But then, you know, I'm getting a lot of Duck fans who are like, oh, Ducks by double digits, Texas Tech hasn't played anyone. I think it's fair. Strength of schedule is a big thing. I think Texas A&M was exposed. Now, they're from the SEC, so we had to tread lightly saying they had a really weak schedule. But if you look at Texas A&M, weren't they down 31-0 at halftime at home to an unranked team, South Carolina?
South Carolina.
Yeah, and they won. 31-0, they were losing at home. A&M benefited from not having to play. I think they didn't have to play five of the top six teams, the other top six teams in the SEC. I mean, they got absolutely lucky. Now, give them credit for winning those games, but they were a bit of a fraud, and Miami exposed that. Why I think Texas Tech is not, because you could say the same thing about Texas Tech. They played in the Big 12. They did the one game they lost at Arizona State, their quarterback got hurt. But they did lose at Arizona State on the road by, I think, 4 points. But why I think Texas Tech is not necessarily a fraud like A&M, even though they played the 68th toughest schedule in the country. Oregon, by the way, played the 17th toughest schedule in the country. Texas Tech, 68th. So that is a factor. I mean, it should be something we look at. But the reason it's different for Texas Tech is because they absolutely trounced everyone that they played. So I think they won by more than 21 in all of their games. And their scoring margin was the best in FBS. And if you watch them, or you know anything about them, you know they have dudes.
Dominant football.
Dominant.
Both sides of the ball, dudes. Dominant football.
And just players, like just studs. Like you can see them. And Texas A&M had some. Texas Tech has more. So it's not just that you played a weak schedule. It's how did you do against that schedule? And unlike A&M, Texas Tech dominated it. So that's one reason. And I'm not saying that doesn't mean that Oregon isn't better than Texas Tech and that will play out in Miami. All I'm saying is tread lightly with the idea that Texas Tech is somehow a paper tiger because they didn't play, you know, Notre Dame or Indiana or whomever. So that's one thing. The second thing is, and this one is interesting, and I know that the odds makers take this into account when they make these lines, but Oregon is still a slight favorite, and that is the game time. You know, they're flying all the way back to the Eastern time zone and playing at noon back there, which is a 9 a.m. game on their body clock. That traditionally has not been good. Early returns in the Big Ten is showing that the West Coast teams, Oregon, Washington, UCLA, USC, who travel back east to play in the Eastern time zone when the game kicks off at 9 a.m. Pacific time, they have not fared all that well. Something to keep an eye on. But I do think, though, that odds makers, they're very aware of this, and they build that into the line. So if you're looking to, you know, cash in off of that narrative, I don't know that you could, but it is a factor. And I'm sure Dan Lanning is quite aware of it. Off the top of my head, I can't remember game times this year. Did Oregon have any of those this year where they went? I know they played at Rutgers, but that was like, I think that was Friday night. And I'm trying to think of other games where they had to go back east. Penn State was not. Was Penn State a 12:30 kickoff back there? Anyway, I'll go with that.
Minnesota was a night game.
But that was here.
And then
I'm talking about
Iowa?
Yeah, they're in the Midwest, though.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's about as far as they went.
Well, no, they went to Penn State.
And Rutgers.
And Rutgers was the night. Look up what time that Penn State game kicked off. I can't remember. But anyway, those two factors were brought up on the text line. I want to talk about those. Very interesting. And it is true. The other thing about Texas Tech is they have a lot of really good analytics these days, and they're not basic. Like, Dave Bartu was way out ahead of the curve on a lot of this stuff. A lot of guys were. But Dave Bartu's been doing his stuff for 20 years. And he looks at things like this, and his have evolved over time, as have things like SP Plus, which is Bill Connolly from ESPN. And SP Plus is, he calls it a tempo and opponent adjusted measure of college football efficiency. So it's a measure of the most sustainable and predictable aspects of football. If you're lucky or unimpressive in a win, your rating will probably fall. If you're strong and unlucky in a loss, it will probably rise. Okay, this takes into account the exact thing we're talking about with scheduling. He has, Bill Connolly, ESPN, SP Plus. Ohio State is number one with a rating of 32.3. Indiana is number two with a rating of 31.5. Interesting to note, Indiana beat Ohio State, and he still has Ohio State better. And then number three, he has Texas Tech at 31.1. Very, very telling, considering their schedule. They have the number two offense and the number three defense, according to his rating. And then Oregon is fourth at 28.6, number five offense and number six defense. Again, reiterating the fact, these two teams, by all the measures that you look at, it is absolutely a toss-up. And then if you look at the Sagarin ratings, and I know some people don't like Sagarin, but it's still there, and it's been around for a long time. They have Texas Tech. Yeah, they have Oregon fourth and Texas Tech fifth, even with the strength of schedule difference. So just saying, tread lightly on the strength of schedule thing. This Texas Tech-Oregon game is going to be a flat-out war, and it may come down to quarterback. It may be the Dante Moore game, man. It really may be the Dante Moore game. Okay, Alabama-Oklahoma. I've never seen a game turn on a dime like that where, I mean, I was texting with a buddy who he had bet on Alabama. He was like, oh, my God, this. It was 17-0. He was like, this is over. Like,
I was watching it here.
You were here, yeah.
Yeah.
It was over. They looked so bad, Alabama. So terribly, awfully bad. And my God, they rattled off what? Then they outscored him. What was it?
24 unanswered.
Yeah.
24 unanswered. 17-0, then 24 unanswered.
Bro, did not see that coming. Even though I was the one touting Alabama last week, saying I had a hunch about Alabama. Well, I don't know how they did it. I guess it's just that Oklahoma ultimately, and Kalen DeBoer said it. He said, look, we just had to stay with it. We fell behind. We weren't playing well. Just stay with it. And they did. They have the better players and ultimately got the Mateer interception. I thought that was huge. And by halftime, that was a completely different game. I mean, they turned that game around in a quarter. And Oklahoma, I mean, in the end, maybe just not that good. So Alabama, what Alabama's bringing to the table, we'll find out next week when they play Indiana. But that was a nice win. Oklahoma now has blown the two largest leads in the history of the playoff. Did you know that, lowercase?
I did not. What was their first one?
I knew you were going to ask me that. And I think it was the Baker Mayfield game. But I'm going to have to go back and check that. Now, I now have a list of things I have to go back and check. But and I do believe that was against Georgia. But they pointed this out on the broadcast. Teams are 28-2 in the college football playoff when leading by 17 or more points. Both of those losses, Oklahoma. So can you trust Alabama moving forward? I don't know. They should be much better. They should play much better, more consistently than they do. Their offensive line should be better than it is. They should be able to run the ball better than they do, but they don't. So maybe Boomer Sooner, not that great. Indiana is certainly a different animal. So maybe the rubber meets the road for Alabama. It's just hard to tell. They're so damn up and down. And then we have Miami, Texas A&M.
I really like that game.
Dude,
I think that's going to be a very sneaky, good matchup.
Oh, wait. Who are you talking about? Ohio State, Miami? I was talking about Miami, Texas A&M. I'm not looking ahead just yet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the one we just watched. And that one, I thought what you were going to say is what I'm about to say, which I thought the Miami, Texas A&M game was oddly compelling. I don't know why. It was crap, but I loved every minute of it. We're going to talk about that coming up next on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had, and the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day, and everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All the Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.